But like I said before, I didn't really have a whole lot of time to prepare. And this morning, every Sunday morning, I always go to breakfast with my dad and my brother. So we did that still this morning. And I was sitting there at the table. We always go to Bob Evans too. Same table, same. It's always same exact breakfast, you know, whatever. I was sitting there and I couldn't wake my eye open. I don't know why. I was like, shaking my head, rub my eyes. I even couldn't even finish my breakfast. I thought I slept well last night. I guess I didn't sleep as good as I thought. But so I was thinking last night when we got back from the movies and from Gettafest, trying to think of something that we can discuss this morning. And it will need to be a discussion. This is going to be a really short, short class. What I wanted to look at was it's in Ephesians 5. It starts in verse 21. And I left my glasses in the car, so you have to bear with me if I try to read through this. But this is talking about wife and husband. I'm not really going to be talking about the role of the husband and the wife so much. You know, most of us have been married or are married or maybe want to be married, you know, whatever. I guess everybody in here has been or is, right? And I'm sort of not a marriage counselor. I've had my share of ups and downs, and I don't have a perfect marriage. I don't think anybody does. But I wanted to go through this a little bit and just talk a little about it, and then we'll go from there. But it starts in 21. This is where I should put my glasses.
I need a little mine.
Why has it gotten worse? As I've been going, I think I've always said just. No, I don't.
They're just stored off the.
That's what mine is. Why did mine do the same way?
I just buy them by the pack.
The glasses in the car are actually prescriptions, but and they're bifocals, but I just didn't let them make it. Yeah, they're much better. Okay. So we're going to start in 21. Probably go through. I'll stop somewhere. So, all right, so submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. I think I'll stop there. But what I wanted to talk about was really more around the last part that we just read, where it says, where it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? I mean, what kind of love is that? What is that?
Sacrificially? Jesus loved the church. I mean, he gave his life. He gave it for everybody. He gave his life, everything that he had. All the suffering that he did was for the church, for his bride.
Is the church always lovable? the church is part of the reason, or we're not part of the reason, but the church was, some, at least maybe, I don't even say the whole church, but some of the church was behind his crucifixion, right? I mean, he still loved us. If we were to, we compare that to how we love our spouses, not just husbands to the wives. So, that's who addresses here specifically, but if we're just talking about how we love each other, can we do that? I mean, is that something that's attainable? I don't know if it's really attainable or not. I mean, it's something we strive for, right? But are we going to actually have that level or that depth of love to our spouses? I mean,
I think you see it. I mean, and of course, I'm thinking of an older couple different, well, my grandparents on my mom's side, they died 31 days apart, and he died of a broken heart after she died. And I mean, oh, I think there are people that are very much, their unity is, you know, they don't pick on each other for the little things they don't like.
I know a couple just like that. I mean, just whoever around them, it's just amazing the example that their marriage is, how it's done.
You know, I think it's different for different people. They can be perfectly happy and be together and have, you know, their joint is one, but a lot of people are strong-willed and they still have their own identity, but they're very much in love with the other person. And, which made me think a little bit when I said strong-willed, but if you think about Bill Abb and Mary Sue probably prayed a lot of years for him to come to know Christ, and then he did. And then to see some of the kids' comments about, he said he'd never be that much time apart from her ever again, and I mean, did he die? Because something about he was 6 months, he went somewhere and worked or whatever, and was away from her, and remember that, and some of the posts they had. But yeah, he was a very strong-willed person. You know, his love for her was...
I think it says somewhere in there, you know, that maybe it's not here, maybe it's back where it talks about being, you know, the two to become one, and whether you're strong-willed or you're not strong-willed, if you're not willing to become one, you know, I think of people who do, you know, like prenuptial agreements or, you know, stuff like that. To me, why are you getting married? You're already planning to be divorced. Why get married? At least, you know, for most people today, it is. It's a contract that they know that at some point they're going to move on anyway.
I've said that in today's society, or I guess maybe it's always been this way, but it takes two to get married. It takes one to get a divorce.
It's the truth, right? That is the truth.
Yeah, it seems way too easy to break that bond, right? I mean, from a legal standpoint of, you know, actually having a piece of paper saying marriage, it's very easy to say, oh, we don't want to do it anymore. You know, something goes wrong and it's like, oh, we'll just get a divorce. Or, you know, like some people go into it thinking, well, if this doesn't work, I'm just going to remarry somebody else later, whatever. Without having any sort of commitment to the marriage. What, if you want to share examples, or even just generic examples, whatever, what are some ways that we share love with our spouses? I mean, it could be through gifts, right? Maybe we give them something they've been wanting for a while, or, you know, whatever.
Doing things that you really don't want to do.
Yeah. With a smile on your face.
and end up, you know, be happy about it. I mean,
like going on a cruise and then finding out that you actually, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing was, we went on the first cruise, it was, you know, it was to spread my mom's ashes, and I was, what the heck am I going to do? Okay, there might be something I can do for 2 hours a day, but what am I going to do for the other 22 hours, and, you know, 16 hours that I'm awake? But it was great. I mean, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I know it's hard for me sometimes to show intentional love, to listen to what Betsy's saying, you know, sometimes just hear And because of the worries of the day, the things that I'm doing or how tired I am or whatever, it's hard to be intentional about it and to just stop what I'm doing and listen. And I think that little things like that is where the love comes in.
I know with Lisa, I, a lot of times these get in the way.
Right? Amen to that. I
mean, you know, while we sit there on our phone and we're talking to each other, it's like we're so, just, you know, whatever we're doing, like, did you really even hear what I just said? You know, and it comes out later, right? I mean,
when they ask you another question, it's yeah. like, you weren't listening.
Yeah, or vice versa. Like,
I heard, yeah, that was 10 minutes ago you said it.
Like, you didn't tell me.
Or that. you caught one part of it.
Yeah. Or it was like, you didn't tell me that. It's like, yeah, we were talking downstairs, but, you know, I don't bring it up anymore. It's like, okay, I didn't tell you that. You know, but yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many distractions. It's so easy not to pay attention to being focused on what we want to get done rather than what our spouse may want or need at the time. Right? So when you do the, when you're intentional, or maybe if you're not doing it for the intent of showing love, but when you do something for your spouse or give them something or give them a compliment, whatever it might be, do you get the reaction you expect? Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it to get a reaction, then is that really love? Or are you just trying to get your own satisfaction or your own need fulfilled by doing it? You know, if you're doing it so that, you know, your spouse will come back and say, oh, you know, thank you, you know, glowing praise, and that's probably not the right, that's not a loving motivation.
Yeah.
I saw my stepdad when my mom was passing, and man, he would not, I mean, leave her side to eat, to nothing. I mean, he stayed right there. If she needed something, you know, he'd get up, he'd step over everybody to go get it. I mean, just that kind of love and devotion, it was amazing to see. And my dad was already gone, so I don't know if my dad would have, you know, I think it was probably a good thing that my mom and dad were divorced when my dad died. I don't think my mom could handle it. And I don't think my dad could have handled watching my mom go through what she went through. So.
I know, the reason I asked that question wasn't so much this, say, like you're doing something to expect something in return.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the acknowledgement is nice sometimes, right? If you're doing something, it's like, oh, well, thank you so much for doing that, you know, whatever. But it was more around, and you guys, you know who Gary Chapman is, or you've heard the name before on the five love languages. Mm-hmm. Actually, have a book with me. this says single edition, so we'll ignore that unless you want to do it. but this is what I thought about last night too. Lisa and I just did the quiz the second time. So we did it early on in our relationship. I forget how quick we were married at the time or beforehand. I don't remember that part, but it was funny. Because my love language has changed, or the primary ones have changed, which surprised me. But then when I think back over how I reacted or things that I did over the last few months, couple of years, whatever, like, okay, I guess that makes sense. But originally, my love languages were acts of service, touch, and then the third one was now.
That's just the part of getting older.
It is. gifts has never been one of I like gifts, but I don't, you know, it's just another thing, you know what I mean? but see, what are the five? You got touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, quality of time. That's what I was trying to think of. Before it was the quality of time, touch, and acts of service were my top three. But acts of service and touch, I can't remember which one was first, but it was top three. But when we took it this time, acts of service didn't make the top three. You know, now it's touch and quality of time. And quality of time was first, and then touch was after that. And it's like, okay, well, that makes sense, because Lisa and I, our schedules with her working at the, she works at a pizza place, and she's a manager there, our schedule are almost polar opposites. You know, I work during the day, most times she's working at night. So we don't see each other a whole lot, you know, and then I get aggravated because I want to go do something, and she's not available, and she can't change her schedule or whatever it is. weekend before, I think it was, she actually had a Saturday off, or maybe it was just a Saturday night, I can't remember which, but we went out to dinner, we went bowling, and as you guys know, I like bowling, so, and it was just the two of us, there was nobody else around. We went down to Walt's, down in Newport, which we'd never been there before. We walked in, and I think there were maybe five other people there. That included the workers. So the place was empty, right? So I always had a place for ourselves. But I really enjoyed that. I mean, it wasn't expensive. You know, we weren't, you know, it was just us spending time together and just having a good time. And that's, I don't know, that meant more to me than doing a lot of other things. You know, so, but that's around the same, that's when I was, went back and was doing this test when that was a couple weeks ago, it was probably the same weekend, and it's like, oh, okay, this all makes sense now, you know.
But that's part of the aging side. I'll give experience from the aging factor. Well, a lot of things don't mean what they used to.
Yeah, well, I think it did. You know, over time, it's like the stuff doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's the time you spend with our family and friends and whatever, right, that matter more. It's the quality time, right? At least for most of us, I guess, though. I guess not everybody's like that. But I mean, it's, I don't know if you guys have ever taken the test before. If you want, it's in the back of the book. We can make copies of it, or it's even things online you can take it too. It can open your eyes up to something. Like, well, I wonder if they didn't respond to whatever, you know, because that's, they don't talk in that way. You know what I mean?
Not that's the same.
It's not right. It's not their love language. It might be yours, but it's not theirs. And Lisa, when she took hers, her top three matched my top three, which was odd, because that's never happened before either. You know, usually it's not the same. There's some differences there. But yeah, I mean, if you've not done that, it might be something you might want to look at, because I mean, I'm not saying that our marriages are in shambles or anything, but there might be something there that could change. You know, if you don't know what your spouse, what her love language or his love language is, then you're talking to them wrong. You know what I mean?
You're speaking Spanish and they don't understand Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, I don't know. I was trying to think of some examples. I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. I didn't write any down either. But, she's bought me stuff before. And usually when she buys me something, it's not something cheap, you know, necessarily. And sometimes that bugs me, not because I got to get it, but because she spends so much money, whatever it is. You know what I mean? But that's, I mean, from the, when I went to that thing, the gifts, it was absolutely the lowest on the list. I think it was like 1 point or whatever. So it's like, it can't get any lower than that. I mean, I still appreciate them, but it's just not something that I'm looking for. You know, it's like Christmas, you know, everybody trying to make sure everybody gets the same number of gifts, right? Or when you're buying for kids, everybody's got to be within $10 of each other. We don't want this one to get more, you know, whatever. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me, you know. I mean, Gabby, she'll buy me something and she wants it to be a surprise. Oh, I can't wait to get this. You can't go peeking. I was like, I won't be peeking. You know what I mean? because it doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Well, Shane, I mean, when you're a kid, you can't buy. I mean, you don't have money to buy anything. So,
yeah.
When you get older, you buy what you want. So it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for me to tell her. Like, she's like, well, what do you want? Like,
I don't know. Just when I think I figured out what he wants, he's already bought it. Exactly.
You're saying he's going to walk on
the yeah. He gives them right out the window. I'll literally order it and it'll be on the doorstep that day from him. Not because I ordered it.
I'll tell her, I just like, buy yourself some. I don't need to pay. That's what you're saying. It changes, you know, when you're a kid, that means a lot more to you.
Yeah.
And then buy yourself anything.
Yeah, through the phases of life, then, of course, after being through divorce, your attitude's changed by a lot of things.
Yes.
So I've been on both sides.
Yeah.
The first one was the killer. Yeah, the second one was survival. Yeah.
You got more in common than I thought.
But I got two great kids, though.
Well, I think what Lisa might be the more expensive gifts, because she knows I won't buy for myself. And it's like, nah, it's just too much money. I don't need it. And she'll go buy for me. So it's like,
did she buy you the car?
No, but she did buy me a nice stereo and backup camera that I installed for it. Yes. I'm waiting for you. I had the old CD player and just AM FM radio one, right?
Yeah.
But she bought one, so now it's got a touchscreen and GPS and all this other stuff on it.
Did you lose the CD player though?
I don't have a CD player, but what I have is got a USB port, so I got a flash drive. I got a, how many gigabytes I bought. Two something or whatever. So I started burning all these CDs on it because I just plugged them there. So now, you know, I've got them all. You know,
whatever. I don't know how to do this. Everybody puts in a playlist, and I mean, it's like for a young guy, his music is all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it takes time to burn them on, put them on that flash drive. I'm like, how long is this going to be around? The CDs are going by the wayside, so how long is it going to be before the USB or the flash drive is not good anymore? You got to do something else. And now it's all going to be through Apple's iTunes or something. I don't want to do it that way.
You want your list, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, it's just like, you know, not on the subject of tech, but just like pictures, family pictures and stuff. Since the phone, how many do you ever get printed? The worst thing is they get lost unless you save them somehow on the Google Cloud, whatever. But when the kids, well, I buy those disposable cameras at Sam's, and they were at 800 film in a lot of those Kodak. And I mean, I have a lot of great pictures for them. You just go by and carry them in the truck and get pictures all the time. Go get them developed. When you had dug up some old cameras when Troy and I were in Cullen, Georgia, about 1978. Some pictures came up from 30 years.
I'll go through some stuff down in my dad's basement. He's living with us now, so we're going to do some of his stuff. Gabby's living in the house, but we see a lot of his stuff is in the basement. We're going through it and decide what we need to get rid of, what we keep, whatever. And I found slides. Who looks at slides anymore?
I was like, what about the old, was it 8 millimeter? The old film?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some of those, I guess, of mom and dad's closets still when we were kids.
I found the projector and it still works too. It's like, right. Cool, I'm going to go home and try to look at these. I don't have any of on here.
Right.
But, you know, these were from when I was a little kid or maybe even before that, you know, so it's like.
But I think those memories, and you know, talk about even just marriages and this and that, but if you look back at pictures of, you know, first started dating or whatever, then through marriage and all that, you can even see changes in, I guess, disposition, I don't know, even through some of the pictures.
Yeah. But That's really about all I had, honestly. So we can talk about whatever. But
here, I've got a footnote for you that this was a little bit interesting. It just said, "Ooh, wait a minute. Make sure we're here.
You need your glasses."
To help devotes twice as much words to telling husbands to love their wives as telling wives to subject to their husbands. How should a man love his wife? He should be willing to sacrifice everything for her. He should make her well being of primary importance. He should care for her as he cares for his own body. No wife needs to be submitting to a man who treats her in this way. So, I mean, you know, my first thought when I read it, when he said twice as much, does it mean because men are twice as hard?
Well, guys, it took men too, but they want to look at that first part where, you know, the wife is supposed to be submissive and
stop there.
And that's it, stop there, you know. Yeah. Headline says, Paul tells us that the home should be a place where love and mutual submission are exhibited. Husbands and wives need to show love to each other and be sensitive to each other's needs. As they do this, they reflect the loving relationship that God has established between Christ and the Christian community. The painful consequences of our sinful patterns are most deeply felt by our close family members. Anytime we selfishly seek to meet our own needs, we will neglect or hurt the people we are responsible to love and support. Rebuilding damaged family relationships may be one of the most important tasks we face with God's help. As we admit the nature of our wrongs and seek to make up with our loved ones, we can begin to reestablish a family atmosphere characterized by love and mutual submission.
And there does say anything there about husbands submitting to your wife, which you really are, aren't? I mean, if you're loving your wife as Christ of the church, I mean, you have to be submissive for her. You're not going to, how are you going to show that kind of love? You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's just a different wording, but everybody sees that submit to your husband is like, oh, not me, you know, whatever, he's going to control me or whatever. And husbands are like guys are taking it the other way. You're supposed to do what I tell you. That's not what it means.
And you don't see it a lot. But you ever see the old couple here or there that they act like they're still kids? You know, in a way like, but I mean, it's like they enjoy every minute together, no matter what they're doing. You know, and they communicate. I think that's a big thing. Understanding that each person might have different feelings about the same subject, but they communicate and they respect each other and don't let it build a wall.
Yeah, I was going to go into talking about how we love others, and us. Just in case we needed filler. Oh, man. And the example I thought of, I was like, this, I wrote this down, like, I don't know, I should make this up, because this could be, who knows where this is going to go. But we're talking about the Olympic opening ceremonies. What was your opinion on that? I didn't see it. I don't want to see it. I've just seen a couple pictures, you know, but I've seen all kinds of posts on either side, you know, on how people react. So people were very angry about it. You know, you're not the mock of God. And then I saw others on the other side where it was a different perspective of.
But it's still mocking in a way.
Well, yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
They can use it as an excuse. But the way I looked at it, they can use it as an excuse to say what they're saying. But you're taking something that's very seriously holy, and
right. Well, then I saw others where they were posting about, you know, where you love the sinner, not the sin, kind of thing. You know, but if that same group of people walked in our church doors, how would you treat them?
Right.
You know, kind of thing. It's.
Yeah, we still need to pray for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're still commanded to love them and to pray for them and serve them, you know, whatever. But are we able to do that? You know,
it seems like you're seeing a little bit more people of faith standing up, and even other athletes after the women boxing thing.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of controversy there, and a couple of the other ones that people are being a little more vocal. That, you know, and a lot of, I think, Christians are standing up, say, here, you know, too long we've been silent, and it's okay to be loving, but at the same time, we need to stand for what is right. You don't just, what, saying nothing is like a yes vote?
I think it's how it's said, though, too. I mean, some people who claim to be Christian are saying a whole lot of hateful things towards those folks. Well, how is that Christian? How's that any different than what they just did?
Right.
You know?
Like I say, those people need to be prayed for, too.
Right.
I guess I'm at the point where it's a lot of that stuff's becoming so brazen, it doesn't surprise me. I'm not saying it doesn't bother me, but I'm going to watch it anyway. Yeah. You know, I'm just to the point where I'm like, watch it. I don't care. I mean, that's fine. They want to do that. It doesn't surprise me, but it's also like, I'm not going to watch it either. So.
I think it may be over now, but I've been in a Facebook discussion with some friends who came down on the other side of it. And, you know, they put something on there about, you know, the male, you know, I guess expressing sympathy for his plight. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, what about this girl who got pummeled for 46 seconds, you know, who trained her whole life to fight another female?
Yeah.
And everything that comes back, profanity-laced defense of this man. And I'm like, hey, you know, XY chromosome, it's a male. No, you know, uterus, whatever. I'm like, I don't believe that. Number two, you know, another boxing association said that this person was disqualified based on, you know,
gender.
Yeah, exactly. And so this person was, you know what? Here's my thing. A male. Anybody who watched, and I only watched the fight because I wanted to know what I was talking about before I went in there. Anybody who watched that fight, that is a man punching a woman in the face. Sanctioned. And I'm sorry, I will, at all times, I will take the woman's side in that, at all times.
Tension, you've got to shield your kids from it too.
What's that?
You got to shield your kids from it too, and kind of guide them in the right direction. Colson's taking off to swimming now and trying to figure out all these different techniques when he's in the pool. And my mother-in-law asked the other day if I was letting him watch the swimmers in the Olympics. I was like, no, because I don't know what's going to show up there. I have no idea when and where what's going to pop on that TV, but he's just trying to watch them swim across the pool. So it's getting harder and harder to explain what's going on in this world and keep them away from it.
That's true. And I put in my post that I'm praying for that man, and I never discussed that person as a female. He's a he, and I pray for him. And I feel horrible that, you know, he feels that somehow God made a mistake and put him in a woman's body. I pray for him for that.
But, and I don't know if their motive is to win.
Yeah.
You know.
I absolutely abhor the fact that he got into a boxing ring with a female and beat her that way.
Right.
So, that has nothing to do with the person. I mean, the person showed up in my house. So if they, and I said it too, you know, if the person wants to dress that way, if they want to take the hormones, if they want to go and surgically alter themselves, that's their business. When they get into a boxing ring and start beating beating a woman, then that's the line.
Well, because it impacts, they're doing all that stuff that's impacting them, but then they cross the line and they want to impact everybody else.
Exactly.
Everybody else has to conform to that, and that's where you're crossing the line.
I was talking to Tink about it, you know, and I said, no, it's a religion. And it's, they want to separate our country, the people of our country, from Christ. They wanted to do it for generations. But yet, don't say anything against their religion. If you come out and you say anything against, you know, LGBTQ, whatever, all this, the whole alphabet thing is, if you say anything against that, I mean, you lose your job.
Yeah, but finally you're seeing a little bit of companies stating back to, hey, let's go to principles.
Yeah,
we're not entering into, you know, well, of course, John Deere, I saw that, done some things, Tractor Supply, got out of the supporting any of the, you know, the problem is a lot of these companies, I don't know if they're pressured or they're whoever's in charge of, you know, putting money towards events and all. It's like, oh, well, you've got to include them. No, you don't. Stick to business. Stay out of it. Don't let it become a festering sore in your, you know.
Tractor Supply turnaround, that was one of the fastest turnaround obvious.
Yeah.
It was on.
You know, then you get these people, don't go there. It's like, well, there's a black farmers group, whatever, that's trying to boycott Tractor Supply. Hmm. And it's like, really?
Where else?
Yeah.
Well, looks like we're about out of time, so I appreciate the discussion. We don't want to fill the time.
Well, bottom line is we need, like Steve said, we can pray for these people, we can pray for these situations, and we need to love them as Christ would love them, but we cannot make them, that God gave us free choice. And so if Satan's attacking them to the point that, you know, we still need to pray. We don't have to agree with them. We don't have to.
We don't have to support it.
Exactly.
Do you mind going to Zoom?
Sure.
Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, number one, that we do have the opportunity to gather in your house to study your word, but we can do it under freedom. We don't have to hide in a building. We don't meet in a basement, Lord. We are in a country that is founded on religious freedom. I just pray, Lord, that as all the things that are happening, number one, we can focus on you, and we can pray for those who are lost and pray for those who are struggling. Be with each person in their relationships, that we put you first, Lord, and when we do that, you bring unity among us all. Forgive us when we fail. Be with the prayer requests that are spoken. Be the ones that are unspoken. Just pray that the message you take has today, if there's anyone there that doesn't know you, that, Lord, that the Spirit will move upon them, and the devil won't hold them back from making a decision to follow you. Be with each and every person here as we go throughout this week. May we take every opportunity that we have to witness for you, Lord, and to share your love with others, and just set an example of how we speak and how we act towards others. Thank you for many blessings we have. In my name we pray, amen.
Amen.